We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Shane Dennis and Anthony Capra with you today here on a Monday, just ahead of the 4th of July week. Kind of sucks that it's not on a weekend, but discussion for another day. What's on tap is brought to you by Side Pockets, where the Monday lunch special is a BLT sandwich or quarter pound cheeseburger, both served with fries for only $5.95 at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler at Side Pockets. What's on tap right now is we're going to go to the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. We're going to talk to John Hamm from Bleacher Report. He covers the Oklahoma City Thunder for them. Obviously, the big news over the weekend, John, was LeBron James and going to the Lakers, but Oklahoma City not left out. Earlier in the week, Carmelo Anthony decided he was going to stay in Oklahoma City, and they re-signed Paul George for 4 years. First of all, welcome to the show, John. How are you?
I am fantastic. A little weary because of the weekend, but I think I'm going to make it.
So re-signing Paul George made them better, yes or no?
It put them probably back where they were at, to be honest with you, which is fine. Because losing Paul George is such a massive hit that, then you start having conversations about, is it time to trade Russell Westbrook and start this whole thing over again? But getting Paul George back, not just signed, but signed to a long-term deal, I think that's an underrated part of this whole thing. And, now the Thunder have a base to work with. I think there's some other moves they need to make, and I think there's some other sort of development within that they need to try to make as well. Getting George back in the fold is kind of step one for this whole thing.
You kind of answered my question by saying getting him back puts them back where they were. What is the next step that they need to take or that they're eyeing to take them over the next level? I asked Shane a little bit earlier if last season would be considered a disappointment for the Thunder by bringing those guys in and not performing maybe to the level that a lot of people thought they would.
Yeah, last season, look, going out in the first round is disappointing. In the grand scheme of things, if everyone sort of understood that this was year one of a multi-year project, maybe your expectations are a little bit softened. I think there was just so much concern about, is Paul George going to leave if they go out in the first round? Well, he didn't. So, now what do they need to do next? Look, Carmelo Anthony is the next part of this puzzle here. Does he want to come back in the role that they have envisioned for him? He's a very expensive piece, but it is the last year of his contract. So do they try to roll it back? They did have success with Melo in the lineup last season with the rest of the starters. So he fell apart after the All-Star break. But if they can't come to a resolution there, do they work out some sort of a trade and try to get something in exchange for him? Or do they negotiate a buyout that's probably in OKC's terms and in their favor? And try to help themselves that way. So that's the next big piece, is how do you get the Carmelo situation resolved? And, that will tell kind of where this team is thinking heading into next season.
What does it kind of say about the Thunder as an organization that they're doing right to get George to come back? Is it the players around him? Is it the organization? Or what is it? Because I think most people thought when he came there for the 1 year that, he had told the Pacers in the past that he was going to L.A. So what are they doing that is bringing guys like him in right now, and what can they keep doing?
Yeah, I really feel like, over the years that there has been, the organization has taken such a hit because of the James Harden trade. And believe me, there's plenty of reasons to, rethink that and sort of criticize it. But usually people are looking at it from the wrong lens. And then Kevin Durant leaving. Well, that was also a unique situation that came about that under normal circumstances, maybe Durant stays. So Paul George agreeing to re-sign and re-sign on a 3-year deal plus a player option. It goes to show that the Thunder organization, they take care of their players. It is a players organization. They understand it is the talent that drives that organization. So, you know, they go out of their way to sort of buffer them, to sort of insulate them, sort of give them everything they need to develop and grow and expand themselves, and treat their players first class. So, you know, that is the thing. And then there's, you know, since day one, there's been sort of a work ethic instilled with this organization that here's what we expect, and if you don't meet that level, you're probably not going to cut it here. And as long as guys are willing to come in, work hard, you know, be a good teammate, let go of a lot of your ego when necessary, you know, this is a place where, you know, they'd love to have you, basically.
Bleacher Report's John Hamm covers the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're talking to him on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. How much is the massive payroll that they have to deal with going to impede their potential to try to get some more pieces? I know we talked about maybe flipping Carmelo Anthony for some cheaper guys, but short of that, what can they do to be a real player in the West?
Yeah, and where they're at in terms of their payroll, they will have a smaller exception worth about $5.3 million. And maybe that's the tool that they use to sign a replacement for Carmelo Anthony, but they do have that available. It is looking like a tight free agent market. There might be a quality guy flip through the cracks and be available at that amount. So, yeah, I think that is on the table. And, yeah, they are looking at a significant payroll with or without Anthony. If they release Carmelo Anthony, they can spread out his salary, the bought-out amount over 3 years, and sort of, you know, alleviate that tax burden. But, you know, it's I've been told, I mean, like all season, like, yeah, we've been preparing for this. This is the culmination of 10-plus years, you know, what we're doing here. And everyone sort of expressed skepticism that the league's third smallest market would pay this kind of money. But I think they're ready for it. Russell Westbrook is headed towards his prime. Now Paul George is as well. I think they want to maximize that and take advantage of it while they can.
How would you describe Russell Westbrook? I don't want to say he's polarizing, but it seems like if you ask 10 different people, you might get 10 different responses on if I say Russell Westbrook, you would say what? So clear it up for us a little bit. What kind of a teammate is he? What kind of a player is he? And how important is he to Oklahoma City?
You know, as far as, you know, what kind of a teammate is he, he's the sort of guy that I think he's a little slow to trust. But once you get within his circle of trust, you don't get out unless you completely backstab him. I think, you know, he is a guy that, I mean, again, he sort of led the recruiting effort all year long to get Paul George to re-sign. And I don't think Paul George makes this commitment if Russ is a quote-unquote bad teammate. So, you know, definitely he's a guy that I think is sort of quiet, sort of aloof. But, you know, he's also a guy that is a fierce competitor. And I think that competitiveness gets the better of him at times. And that's why you see so much of this reckless play from him. And, you know, look, it was not a good thing against the Jazz in the playoffs last season. He sort of let other factors get into his head. It really affected his play. That's the downside to him. If he's actually playing within himself and not going over the top, he's one of the league's five best players. But, you know, again, he's sort of got that malfunction where he can Hulk out on you and suddenly there's devastation everywhere because he just can't seem to rein it in.
Now, real quick before we let you go, appreciate your time. John Hamm from Bleacher Report talking Oklahoma City Thunder. Here's your chance to weigh in on the LeBron James to the Laker deal and how it affects the rest of the NBA. What do you see moving forward over the next couple of days because of what happened in L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Lakers are just getting started. You know, they do have a lot of young pieces that I think are a little bit better than people are giving them credit for, like Brandon Ingram, even Lonzo Ball. I really think is going to be a really good NBA player. Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, they've got some young pieces, but historically with LeBron, you don't put young pieces around him. LeBron comes in and you trade those young pieces to get guys that can help now. So that's why I think it's, you know, I think this is step one for Los Angeles. Not completely surprised LeBron went to LA, just as sour as that relationship between he and Cavs owner Dan Gilbert became. But, yeah, I mean, now everything is in the Western Conference. You know, Philadelphia and Boston's left in the East, maybe Toronto. But, man, the West is going to be it's going to be a bloodbath yet again. So it's going to put even more pressure on a team like Oklahoma City, a team like Houston, which lost Trevor Ariza early on in free agency. Even Golden State, who needs to flesh out the bench and add some depth. So, you know, I think it's going to be a rising tide raises all boats situation, and that's never a bad thing for the league.
Great job, John. Appreciate catching up with you and appreciate your perspective and information.
No problem, guys. Take care.
All right. There's John Hamm from Bleacher Report talking Oklahoma City Thunder. Elsewhere, and he brought up the Warriors at the very end there, Anthony. They reportedly are going to re-up Kevin Durant, or the opposite being true, for a two-year, $61.5 million deal. Your attitude on Kevin Durant and how it differs from LeBron James, or does it?
Not very different, but with him staying in Golden State, and obviously it's kind of an easy decision to stay in Golden State because they're winning. I guess I'll kind of say I'll wait and see on him. If he bounces around again, he kind of falls in the LeBron James boat to me.
Is there something wrong with chasing rings?
I guess not at the end of the day, if that's what you're about. But
forgive me for connecting the dots. Yeah, that's what these guys are doing.
I see where you're going. I don't know. It's just frustrating to see. I guess I when I think of athletes and the guys I grew up watching, loyalty played a part in it for me. You know, I was a Montana fan and
it's a bygone era, brother.
It is.
I hate to break it to you.
It's hard to watch.
And I think you're going to have a hard time adapting to it because that's the way it's the way of the new world, brother.
I don't think I'll ever adapt to it, but it's just hard for me to see guys and changing jerseys all the time, and you know, it's just no big deal at this point.
You're right, it's not. And if you're not used to it, it's hard to get used to. 869-1240. If you want to react to whatever you've heard today, Dennis has elected to take advantage of that. Hello, Dennis. What do you think about the LeBron James deal?
Well, I think there's one thing that most people seem to be overlooking, because you don't hear them mention it much, but LeBron James is such a different dude than he was when he come into the league and even when he went down to Miami. He has three children now. He's bought bought another home out in Los Angeles. He will be 34 years old. This contract will probably be his last. And people overlook the fact that how much business he has to take care of out on the West Coast. He's got a label out there. He's got different recording possibilities. He's got movie deals. He's got his own production company. His wife's out there the last 6 months directing the renovation of this house. So people don't take into consideration this guy is getting ready for the end of his career.
Let me ask you this, since you brought all that up. What do you think he does when it is over?
Hey, he's going to do his best to be a better business mogul than Magic Johnson.
So he's going to be an executive or owner of an NBA team? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not particularly. He's got so many businesses going now out there.
He does.
And like I say, Magic Johnson, when he retired from basketball, it wasn't in the basketball realm. He made his money in real estate, movie theaters, and things like that. Well, LeBron James wants to do the same thing and become a billionaire. Whether he wants to own a team or not, that's secondary.
Yeah.
But we know he wants to make movies. We know he wants to have a recording stable. And so he'll have a label. He wants to be like Magic Johnson business-wise. He wants to be like Jay-Z in the recording business. And I don't know who he fashioned himself at in the motion picture business, but he wants to do all of those things. And so he is looking forward mainly to the end of his career. That's why he's able to sign this 4-year deal out there and have no one with him right now, because he knows he's going to have to wait a year before Kawhi Leonard comes on. He may have to wait a year. Boogie Cousins will come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then that third year, he figures he can win a championship. I'm sure that's the way he's thinking.
Thanks.
And by that time, he'll be 37 years old.
Yeah, and they better have all their ducks in a row by then, because that's definitely his last hurrah or close to it. Appreciate the perspective, Dennis. Thanks for the call. If what Dennis says is true, and most of it probably is, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not important at all, 10 being the utmost importance, what's his level of urgency to win a championship?
Urgency?
Yeah.
2.
I would kind of agree with that. If he's just going to Los Angeles to work on his brand and set himself up for the end of his career, why didn't he play for the Clippers?
Yeah, he could have just as easily done that.
You know, why'd he go to the Lakers? Now, the difference between the Clippers and the Lakers, I guess, is an opportunity to win a championship, because you don't sit down with Magic Johnson, and you don't, if you're Magic, convince him to come unless he at least sells him some bit of a bill of goods on another trophy. So you know he's going big game hunting in addition to LeBron James, which I don't even know who the owner of the Clippers is anymore now that Donald Sterling's not there. But
is it Ballmer, the Microsoft guy?
There you go. Steve Ballmer. Good call. So it's an interesting balancing act, which we'll never get the truth serum of what really is important to LeBron James, what's most important, I guess, and we know what's important. He likes to compete. He is chasing a ring. He would like to win another NBA trophy, or Larry O'Brien trophy, I think is what it's called. But apparently, as far as we know, Boston, Philadelphia, and Houston were never really in the mix there. And I mean, they're not going to win anything next year, but he's getting a head start on the rest of his life. That part, I do agree with Dennis.
Right, and as much of a non-LeBron person as I am, he's not stupid. He made that decision for obviously basketball reasons, but for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. He could have gone anywhere he wanted, but he went there for, and we may never know all the reasons, because he does have business ventures and things that obviously LA is a marketing melting pot, and just everything's off the chains out there. But he had reasons to go out there that we will never know, and that's probably why it didn't take so long this time.
Who's to say he hadn't been in communication with Kawhi Leonard?
He very well could have. And from every report, Kawhi still is pushing to be traded out there. Whether or not they can pull it off remains to be seen. I know Boston's still in on him, but
I feel like
maybe he's taking the, okay, I'll take my lumps for a year, you know, not make my 9th straight finals, because it's going to be tough to get through Houston and Golden State in the West.
Unless they make a trade for Kawhi Leonard, and he's 100% healthy.
Right.
The trick there is to convince him, and I can't imagine it would take a lot of convincing, if A, the Spurs do trade him to the Lakers, but B, this isn't just a rental. We don't just want you for 1 year now. We got something to build on. You know, Bron signed that 4-year deal, you know.
Right.
So I don't think it would be like twisting his arm for him to sign an extension or re-up after the season.
No.
So I guess that's the huge domino left to fall, even though he's still under contract. Where's Kawhi Leonard go next year? And is anybody in the East in the mix for him? I would think so. I would think Philadelphia would make a big play for him.
Yeah.
I would think, although Boston, Danny Ainge has kind of got the NBA world by the tail now.
He's pretty shrewd.
Yeah, he has been.
He's not taking a light on anybody right now.
So the free agency world continues to turn, but that was a big one over the weekend. And LeBron James letting everybody know that he intends to sign with Los Angeles Lakers. And so the LeBron James legacy, as Anthony called it, takes another turn in the chapter that is LeBron James. And the entire, I don't want to say the entire NBA is held hostage by his moves, but it's pretty close.
Oh, they are. You can say it's not, but it is. And he controls so much about what we see and what we...
Well, all the rest of these free agents are like, okay, so much for that.
Right.
You know, after he does right. what he did.
Yeah, it's a game changer for everybody. The filter down is maybe more than anybody's ever been with him.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, so when we come back, we'll take a look at the World Cup. There has been a goal scored in the Brazil-Mexico match. Also, maybe take a peek at the 100 greatest songs of the 21st century so far. So says the Rolling Stone magazine, with it being July 2nd. We'll get a little loose on some of the stuff we talk about here in the summertime with sports. But also take your calls at 869-1240 if you want to talk about anything you've heard on the show. At ShaneDennis34 on Twitter. You can find Anthony Cap. What's your Twitter handle there, Cap? What do we got? I had it a second ago.
At ACAP35.
Boom. A little World Cup talk, a little music talk, a little bit of everything talk when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.